We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we commend you all that we are and all that we have, and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that you have instructed us, that you've told us not to be anxious about things of the world, but that you know what we need and you'll provide. And yet you've told us to ask, to seek, to knock, seeking first the kingdom and its righteousness. So teach us to be ever more prayer-filled for things of the kingdom. And I pray for this ministry here, Concordia Seminary, for its faculty and its students and staff and families. I pray for its ministry and for its place in the kingdom, for its importance in the kingdom. And I ask that at every turn you would hinder the evil one. And I pray that you would look upon this place, this ministry, with your favor. I pray that you would reveal what needs to be revealed and stop what needs to be stopped. I pray that you would comfort those who need comforting. And I pray that you would change what needs to be changed and build up what needs to be built up, and all to your glory, that increasingly many would know you, not only here, but well beyond. In your name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in our Lord, you might want to take a look at the text with me, page 811 and 812 in the Pew Bible, if you'd like. And I want to connect parts of this. What I'm really doing is trying to build on the Sermon on the Mount. I was in Matthew 5 for 2 days, a Tuesday and Wednesday, and Dr. Burson said if I wanted to head into the Matthew 6 and 7, we should sure do that because it's a unit, the Sermon on the Mount. But what I'd like to do with you is connect on page 811, bottom of the right-hand column, verse 25, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. I think that's a message for seminarians, especially seminary students, who can become anxious about many, many things of this world and life, finances, just food and clothing. But our Lord Jesus has told us to not be anxious about those things. So if we were to summarize, we would say we give all those things over to our God and Father, our Lord Jesus, because he's going to provide what we need. And yet if you keep going through the text, I'm going to take it then down to verse 7. He has already shown us his love is perfect. We can trust him. He is our Savior. He's the fulfiller of righteousness. We talked about that yesterday. He is our God, our Savior. In him we have all that we need. And then in verse 7 he says, ask, and it will be given to you. And even then, I think because of our nature, we go back to asking for things that he's already promised to provide. I believe that this is a challenge for us to ask about righteousness things, kingdom things, things of faith. I want to share with you a little story about a time in my life that caused me to perhaps understand this a bit more deeply than ever before. I've learned to not measure prayer. I'd like you to think about that in your own life. Our Lord calls us because he loves us forever. He is our Savior. He gives us all that we need. He calls us to pray, to trust, to pray boldly, to pray confidently, to pray with kingdom thinking. I've also learned, and I know that this may sound a little bit charismatic to you, but I promise you I am not even close to that. I've learned to listen, to pay attention to God's promptings, and never to measure prayer. In the summer of 1992, when we were still in Wisconsin, my wife Jane told me, I have this strong feeling that God has something special for us to do this year. And I said, what is that? She said, I have no idea. I said, well, Jane, please, what am I supposed to do with that? She says, I just want you to know, I have this strong feeling. And I thought, okay. And I thought it would have to do with her mom, because her mom had just been diagnosed with a blood cancer, and I thought, you know, whatever we can do, we'll take care of her. But I learned to listen to my wife's faith. About 2 weeks later, a man came into my office and said, I have a check for $1,000 for Lutheran High. Can you get it over there? I said, yeah, I'll get it over there for you. And I'd been in my office all day, and summers in Wisconsin are delightful. Winters, Okay, but summers in Wisconsin are delightful, and I said, I'm just going to drive over there, and I took it to the principal, and the principal said, thank you very much. Oh, by the way, would you please print in our worship folder, he was a member of our congregation, would you please print that we are looking for a home, a host family, for a boy from Russia for this year? I said, hang on, Bob. That might be us. I promise you that if Jane had not told me, I think God has something special for us to do this year, I would have said, fine, I'll put it in the bulletin. It's for somebody. I already had four kids. I didn't need a fifth kid. But because she had been prompted by God, which I believe is biblical and Lutheran, for the record, I said, hang on, Bob, that might be us. Came home at supper time. I said, here's the thing. Everybody said, yes, we should do it. And I was surprised. The boy who was coming would be a freshman in high school. My oldest daughter would be a sophomore. My son would be an eighth grader. And then down the road, we have two boys and two girls. We only had three bedrooms, so the boys would have to share. See, that's how it went in my house. The girls slept together, the boys slept together, and Jane and I slept together. So that's pretty good arrangement. Now I had to get three boys in one room. All right, so we're making some adjustments. And Sergei Vladimirovich Chermisin came into our home in August of 1992, and he did not know nearly as much English as they said he did, which is another story. But one of his first lines was, but I'm not religious. I'm not religious. Okay, Sergei, I got that. He was a classic atheist. I told you a little bit about that on Tuesday. Classic. No God. Everybody's evolution, accident, no eternal life, nothing. And now this kid, who was the son of two factory workers whose factory bosses would send one child every year to some place in the United States, please track this with me now, Sergei was sent to the U.S. Where? He had no idea. They said, Wisconsin. Got it, Wisconsin. Of all the places in Wisconsin who are getting a foreign exchange student, where is he going to go? Sheboygan. Where is he going to go in Sheboygan? To our home. Where is he going to go to high school? Lutheran High School of Sheboygan. And it was all an accident from his perspective. It just happened that way. So here's this poor kid, 14 years old, very polite boy, highly educated, intelligent boy. Lutheran High every day. Now, freshmen at Lutheran High in Sheboygan, at least in those years, took Old Testament. And Jane said to the principal, Bob, the boy doesn't need Moses and David right now. The boy needs Jesus. Can you please put him into the New Testament class? And Bob Kasten said, sure, we'll do that. So every day, New Testament. Not every evening, but many evenings, devotions in our home, and then worship on Sunday. He was just being bombarded by the Word of God. And every afternoon, he would come home from school. Jane would be home. He didn't have anything until winter with basketball, but he came home every day, and then they would have their debates, spiritual debates, theological debates, and his English was getting better every few days. And once you know Jane, you know that she doesn't lose many debates, but that's another story. All right, so here's Sergei and Jane. And I could tell something's happening to this boy. God was working on his heart. And in October or so, I said, Sergei, I believe God's working in your life. I'm not going to overwhelm you, but I want you to know that when you desire to be baptized, you let me know. It's okay. Okay. At 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday night, December 10th, 1992, Sergei said to me, I'm ready. I said, Sergei, do you desire to be baptized into the Christian faith? He said, I do. I said, well, get Peter up. Peter was in second grade. He's in bed. I said, get Peter up. Jane's mom had come to live with us. She would die in our home that year. It's an amazing journey we had. I said, get Grandma up. And that evening, in front of our Christmas tree, I baptized Sergei Vladimirovich Chermisin into the Christian faith. And you would think that that was the holiest moment of the event. It was not. The following Sunday, after worship, at the dinner table, it was nine of us, six, then Sergey, then Jane's mom, and my dad, who was a widower, had moved to Sheboygan to be close to us, so he was there for dinner, nine of us, and Sergey said this, "That name, Emmanuel, in worship today." I said, "Yeah, Emmanuel, God with us. It's Advent, of course." And he said, "That was my grandfather's name. And if I had been standing, my knees would have buckled." And I was overwhelmed with the thought of faithful Christian people, two generations before Sergey, who were caught in the darkness of a system which despised God. And they said, "What can we do?" And I believe they said, "Yet can we pray?" I believe that. I believe that I was sitting at the table rejoicing in his newfound faith, his baptism, his commitment to Christ, and it seemed like nothing but an accident. I've learned never to measure prayer. It's an amazing thing. And I don't know who was praying for him. And if you know anything about Russia right now, you know that there is a spark of faith that is in certain areas blaze-like. How does that happen? Of course, Christ is the Lord of the church and Lord of our lives, and his kingdom will advance. We know that. We believe it. But is there a part of that which is the faithful prayers of his people? He delights in the prayers of his people. He prompts us to pray. He promises to answer, but maybe not always or only as we anticipate. He looked at me and said, "That was my grandfather's name, Emmanuel, in the eastern part of Russia, in the darkness of 70 years. Jesus our Lord says, "Don't be anxious about anything, about food or clothing. I got you. I know what you need." And then he tells us to ask. And I think when we don't read the whole text, we say, "Well, I want to ask about things." He's already told us not to be worried about that. So what do we ask? What do we seek? What door do we knock upon? Are not those things of faith? Are not those things of kingdom? Are not those the things of righteousness bestowed by Christ for all to hear and to receive? Let's continue singing the hymn.